So I was thinking about a couple of years ago, this memory came to mind because we're talking a little bit about fire today, too. And it was a time when we have a fire pit in our backyard, and Grace, our goddaughter, Brenly and my goddaughter, was visiting, who some of you know Grace, and I've told you stories about her, and we helped raise her. And so she was there, and then my mom had just moved in, and we all gathered around the fire, and we did the game where you pass the story. Have you ever done that? One person starts a story, and the next person adds to it, and you just keep going around the circle and building the story. And I remember how magical it got, and how, you know, just how beautiful it was when it came to my mom. Suddenly the story, it's like everybody around the fire expanded, and there were dolphins, and there were mermaids, and there were unicorns, and we were adventuring through mountains and forests and oceans, and nobody wanted her to pass the story. So she'd pause, and then we'd go, no, go on. So it's just this beautiful, you know, kind of multi-generational experience. And I was thinking about, isn't that what happens around fire? There's kind of a magic, miracle connection point that happens because we were captivated by imagination, by story, by fire, by togetherness in a way that we hadn't been before. So there is this drawing together that, you know, from the beginning of time, really, the beginning of at least early, before humans, Homo erectus, they say, that preceded Homo sapiens, that they are known to have used fire. There's fire pits that have been, archaeologists have found throughout Africa and different places. And that, you know, as they harness the power of fire, of course, if you begin to think about all the ways that it's used, I mean, not only as a gathering place for stories and songs and dances and getting to know one another, but also for cooking and, you know, electricity and all the things that come with electricity. I mean, once you get going, it's like, whoa, fire and light, that's something that's pretty important to us. Now, you might be wondering, why is she talking about fire? I thought this was Advent Love Day. Well, this year in Advent, we are bringing in the companion to the spiritual quality, the element that is a companion to that quality. So love and fire, they just go together, don't they? Yeah, and we know the various ways that love and fire go together. One of them in the Christmas story is when Zechariah the priest is visited by the angel Gabriel. I mentioned this story last week. And do you remember what he was doing in the temple when the angel Gabriel came? Yes, very good. Someone was paying attention. He was lighting incense. And that was part of a sacred ritual. And he was lighting this incense, burning this incense that metaphysically, according to the Unity Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, we have one of those, it says that lighting of incense is symbolic of the transmutation of spiritual understanding. So that actually happened for Zechariah. In 9 months' time, from that moment of the visitation of the angel and the burning of incense, he had a whole new birth himself, a dawning of spiritual understanding, not to mention the fact that his wife Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist at about the same time. And so it was through that he had a renewed kind of sense of his ability to speak truth. It seems to me like he walked through the smoke of that incense out into the town square, a better priest, a better man, and a father. And so it's that kind of experience that we have at different points in our lives, isn't it? With love and the fire of love that transmutes, that brings forth a new kind of understanding, a new birth or a new understanding. And that's in part what this Christmas thing is all about. This idea of the rebirth of the Christ consciousness is an expansion of consciousness, a renewed kind of consciousness, an opened door or window to a deeper kind of love and consciousness that we then become and embody in the world, ideally. So, So as we look at fire, we notice that their fire shows up a lot in spiritual and religious, you know, as a symbol, and throughout the scriptures, I imagine throughout the scriptures of the world, some of the Christian Judeo scriptures, the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures, a few of the examples, and there's tons of them, in the Bible are when God shows up as a pillar of fire in Exodus, or a flame on the throne in Daniel, or when Elijah is taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, remember that one, or when Moses stands and talks to God, and God shows itself as a burning bush speaking to Moses. So there's fire, this idea of fire, the spark that is a part of what ignites the love inside of us. Indeed, it says in Hebrew, our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. What does that mean? What is that about? You know the times that you have been lit up in love, don't you? You know the times when you have fallen in love, or I think it'd be better said, risen in love, or when we feel that deep love for spirit or for someone else or for something else. I met a couple of brand new puppies yesterday on the trail, and I swear to God, like my heart just opened up. You know how you have those experiences? And this family was just kind of like, you know, oh, you know, you love our puppies. And so like we're having these conversations, and then we hooked up with each other again a little bit later. And then suddenly the little boy and I like had this rapport, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff. And he went out of his way when his family turned around to ride his bike to where I had walked to at that point to say, I hope you enjoy your holidays. You know, it's like love is everywhere. Love is everywhere. If only we open our eyes to see it, if only we open our hearts to meet it and to greet it and to be it and to feel it and to share it and to give it and to receive it. It's everywhere. If you aren't feeling the love, it's okay, but it's right here for you. It's a breath away. It's a moment away. It's a dropping into the heart. It's an opening our eyes and looking around. I mean, what a fall, right? These blazing leaves everywhere. It's just, it's glorious. And so it's love and gratitude that intermixes together and that opens us up and that puts us on that trail of burning love, consuming love for God, for our spirit, for our truth. So Rumi, the Sufi poet, and many of the poets in our history and in our modern day really ignite that kind of fire in us, don't they? Remind us to see the world in a different way, open us up to the mystery. And Rumi is this great beloved Sufi poet that talked about the divine as the beloved, as the friend, as the one who is adored and devoted, and there's a devotional relationship that goes back and forth with this one, and much of the poetry is about that. And he gives us this charge in this poem called The Center of Fire. This is just a short verse from it. He says, I must enter the center of the fire. Fire is my child, but I must be consumed and become fire. So I love that he says, fire is my child, because I think he's, I don't know, but this is my interpretation. We all get to, you know, poetic license to interpret, right? That he might be reflecting back on the idea that fire is something that we harness the power of and co-created so much with and continue to, as I mentioned earlier. So it is our child in a way. It is something that we work with, and then it's an offspring of all the different ways that we co-create. But then he gets to the heart of it, and he says that I must be consumed by the fire. I must become the fire. What is he talking about? He's talking about that love of the divine that just burns so brightly in us that we just can't help but share it everywhere and be alive with it, because it's just so palpable, that love, that kind of love. You know this love, right? You've experienced this love throughout your life, whether it be expressed as love for another or a feeling that comes over you or something, doing something mundane that all of a sudden is just the love. I remember when I was like 22 years old and I was living with my older sister in an apartment in Chicago, and one day I was folding her laundry and I started crying. And it was like there was just something very sacred, like I suddenly just like, oh, that I can do this for my sister. You know, sometimes we were fighting, bickering at each other and trying to sort our way through how to live together in harmony. But there was just this moment of love that overcame me. Do you have these? Do you have those moments when it just like, you know, I remember I used to be vacuuming the carpet and all of a sudden I'd just like have this burst of love for one of my coworkers, you know? It was like it comes out of nowhere and it's like a bomb of fire that's just like, love. I know you have these experiences. You're being kind of shy right now about it. It's kind of a shy energy in the house. That's okay. I'll do the talking for now. Disclose. So what happens when we enter the center of love? We enter that spirit that we talk so much about. You can call it Christ spirit, divine spirit, Holy Spirit. I like to call the Holy Spirit, the whole spirit of love. When we enter to the whole spirit of love, then it's like love is in the house, right? This house and the house, the bigger house, the sanctuary of life that we move about. And then everybody is a part of our house of love. There's no stopping it when we're in that place of love, right? There's no stopping us. It's like hate can come our way and fear can come our way and people can be in all their kind of grumpy antics and we're just like, you're not getting in the way of my love train because I'm lit with love today. I'm alive with love today. Now, maybe tomorrow you wake up a little bit different, but we get so used to being in these kinds of spaces when we're centered in the fire of love, then we don't want to go anywhere else. And so when we find ourselves in those outskirts, in those grumpy outskirts or whatever they may be, suddenly it's like, oh man, this doesn't feel very good. What do I need to do? I need to get back in the center of the fire. I need to be consumed by the fire so I can become the fire of love. Because when it lights me up like that, life is really good. And we become on purpose, don't we? And what is our purpose but to share it? But to give it, but to let it, you know, when fire is happening, it spreads, right? And these are fans of wildfire we want to flame. This is the kind of thing that we want to spread in every direction. We don't need a controlled burn around our love. Well, sometimes we need a little wisdom to temper it, but you know, that's now we're getting into relationships and it becomes very complicated, right? It's like moth to a flame, this idea of love. Sufi poet, it's Sufis talk about that too. This draw that we have to the spirit, to the truth, to the love inside of our hearts. And once we get a little sense of it, a little feeling for it, a little experience of it, we want more of that. And it's not more like a craving desire, you know, then we get into an issue that the Buddha would have had, right? The craving and the aversion. By the way, today's Bodhi Day, which celebrates the Buddha's enlightenment. So I had to bring the Buddha in there somewhere. So speaking of spiritual masters, let's take a look at Mary and Jesus and their Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart. I did not grow up Catholic, but I've always been very drawn to this idea of Mary and Jesus and this heart. And did you notice the heart is a flame? And they both just offer them with so much graciousness, right? They're revealing their hearts to us. That alone is an act of love. When you are willing to share your heart with somebody, your vulnerability, your tenderest places, your wildest places, when you're willing to open up your heart in such a way and say, look, and feel, you can have some of this. And their hearts are on fire because you know what? Mary and Joseph have been through some stuff. Right? They have firewalked through some stuff, right? Loss, death, resurrection, grief. It goes on and on. And haven't you too? Haven't you in your lifetime been through some fire? You have walked through some fire. And maybe you got a few little blisters on your feet or on your heart, but don't let it stop you. Because on the other side of that fire walk is you in your glory with your open flaming heart. Because love got lit up in you through the things that you lost and grieve. That's love. That grief is love. It's an act of love for the person or the animal or whatever it is, the life that is lost. And so it's that love that lights us up, and that love and that flaming heart that is testimony to, I have been through some stuff. And I am more alive, more on fire, more alit because I walked through that fire and here I am, right? And I've got more to share with people because now we become the wounded healer. And the wounded healer has a lot of healing to offer to the world because we know what it's like to be in those places of sadness and brokenness. So we can help somebody else who is in a place of brokenness and sadness because we say, I've been through some stuff too. And together we'll hold each other's hand. Together we'll walk through those fires. Now, fires can also be joys, potent joys. Those moments of seeing those puppies yesterday lit my heart on fire with joy. So it can also be those times when a dream gets achieved or even gets felt and experienced or received in guidance, in wisdom. And that joy that lights up our life and lights up our bodies and lights up our hearts and our minds to go forward, to walk the path, to enter the fire, to be consumed by fire is to be consumed by love. To become the fire is to become love, to become the divine, to become the truth, that I am that we have come here to be. The essence of who you are is a big, huge heart. It's a pulsating, radiating love like that one that we know of our spirit, our God. It's that essence that you have come here to be, that I have come here to be, that we as a community have come together to be. We gather together around the fire as we have since the very beginning of time of pre-humans, even in those caves in Africa, and all the way to present day. It has evolved over time. Sometimes we gather around a literal fire. And the other thing that has happened over the years is that churches became the centers of the town squares for the very same purpose, to come together, to get to know one another, to share our stories and our struggles and our triumphs, to open our hearts to each other, to ignite the love of spirit with one another in community. That's what happens when we gather under the cupola of light, when we come and we light candles together at the altar, when we sit by one another, when we hug our teddy bears, when we listen, when we sing together, when we move together. That's what community does for us. We must be together in community to ignite the fire. Grief must be witnessed, joys must be shared, burdens must be divided, and they are done in the community, in the fire of love that gets ignited when we come together, two or more even gathered. And there I am in the midst of you. And who is this I am? It is the Christ. It is the love. It is the divine essence of who we are. We're lit up with it, aren't we? We're on fire with it. Do you feel hot in here? I'm getting hot. And it just feels so good to be with one another. You remember that story, maybe some of you remember it, I've told it before, of the man who was out in a cabin by himself. I imagine, this is an add-on of the story, that maybe he had lost a loved one and he was alone. And he was sitting by the fire one night and a knock comes on his door, which really surprises him because nobody's come to visit in a long time. And there is standing at the door is his pastor, who he hasn't seen in a long time. And the pastor comes in and pastor's normally chatty, but he's very quiet tonight. And they're sipping some tea and they're looking at the fire. And the pastor doesn't say anything. And the man's just like, why did he come here? You know, and they're just sharing the fire together. And after a while, there's an ember that is over on the side of the fire. And the pastor gets up and he takes the tongs and he picks it up and he puts it in the middle of the fire. And that cold ember, that cold, dark ember suddenly lights up again, you know, when it's in the fire, in the center of the fire. And so then after a little bit, the pastor gets up and he says, well, it's been nice visiting. And he goes to leave, and the man's like getting it as he's walking to the door, you know. And he looks at him and he says, tears running down his face, thank you for the fiery sermon. I'll be back in church on Sunday. It's the power, isn't it, of coming together in whatever ways we come together, even with nature, right? Even with the trees and the earth and the different ways, the different forms of creation. It's that sense that we are never alone and that we come together. There is a sense of the spread of love, the movement of love. So that Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary is that flaming heart of you and me that's in all of us. Father Moses Simon writes about that. He says, a flaming heart is one which burns with the spirit of the Christ. He says, wherever the heart is found, it kindles all hearts associated with it. This kind of heart is capable of altering people's callous hearts into warm ones. And if we could only think of it as that, callous hearts, when we bump up against hate, when we meet people in fear, if we could just think there's a callous there. There was a wound and there's a callous there. And my job is to warm their heart. I know the story about this woman who she was sick and her, not sick, she was of the sick faith, S-I-K-H. And she was in the grocery store with her husband. Her husband told me the story. And she was just in the produce area. And, you know, this, maybe you do or don't know that a lot of sick people receive a lot of the hatred that people intend to give to Muslims, which is no better. But it does happen a lot. So she probably was wearing a turban, which is often, or covering her head in such a way that it made the person think that, anyway, it doesn't matter. It was hate. Hate is hate is hate, right? And a person comes to her and just begins to spew all this hate, like right up in her face. And the husband is just like, you know, getting to walk over there and just like, I mean, I can almost like feel his energy, like become it, like, oh, okay, I got something to say here. And she says to the woman who is spewing all this hate, I love you. And the woman begins to calm down a little bit. And then she sort of winds up again and she starts more of her stuff. Go back to your country, like things like this, ignorant things like this that people say. It's like, this woman's American, like, this is my country, you know, stuff like that. And so on it goes. And the sick woman, I'm going to call her Mary. Mary says, I love you. One more time it happens, but not quite at that level. And then finally, the third time, I love you. And the woman starts to cry. This is how we heal the world. Now, Mary was not Mother Mary. She was not Jesus or Buddha or a master teacher, which may sometimes feel out of reach for us. She was a fellow American in the grocery store, right? Love is everywhere, accessible to us at all times, something we can reach for within ourselves, within the depths of our being sometimes, or right there at the surface in loving words and loving actions and loving truth. But the truth is we are all cut from the same cloth, of the same love, made from the same love. And so when we are off base, we can just ask, like the psalmist did, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me that is based again in that love that puts us back into the fire of love. So while we don't so much worship in unity, we do have love, don't we? We know love in unity. We know how to love, how to show up as love, how to be loving and inclusive, how to be in that space of love that says, no matter who you are and where you are welcome here. That's our ideal anyway. That's our intention, our mission, in fact, a part of our mission. And so it's natural for us to have that kind of sense of love. And we don't so much worship, but we do have devotion, don't we? Love for the spirit that is within us and all around. Love for the essence. Love for the divine presence. Love for the allness of God, Goddess, the One. And so it's that sometimes is demonstrated through ritual or through expression or through prayer, various ways that we might be devotional in our nature, maybe like a spiritual pilgrimage to a place considered holy, like all of the pilgrims from here at Unity of Walnut Creek that went to Unity Village in September this year, right? Yeah, back to that. So that's like an act of devotion, isn't it? Toward our love, an expression of our love. Or like the Magi, the wise ones who were alit with love and moved toward this holy event at Christmas time. Those wise men, or Magi, which means magic, were led there in several ways. They hailed, by the way, from the land of the poets from the Middle East, and they were, some say, learned men, and also they were very intuitive, and they were astrologers. And so they watched the night sky, and they had a sense of when they saw this really bright, burning star, that the time had come for this rebirth of consciousness on earth. And on behalf of all humanity, they began their pilgrimage. They walked for months, or rode camels for months across the desert to get to that place. They arrived after the birth, although we sometimes show them as arriving at the birth. They arrived after the birth of this breakthrough of consciousness, because they intuited it was coming, but mostly because the fire of love inside of them was so devotional that they wanted to go and pay homage. They wanted to go and show their love, demonstrate their love, give their gifts of love, give the elements of love, precious gold and frankincense for incense and perfume and the beauty of spirit and myrrh for the eternity of spirit, the life sap, the life blood of the tree, the sap of the tree that myrrh was used for. And all of this, a blending then of nature and of love and of devotion and of pilgrimage and a blazing sense that I must go despite the long, treacherous journey that it may take. And for all of us, that's the journey we are on, isn't it? That's the journey of life. That's the journey since your own physical birth that you've been on, coming into this world by divine appointment. Make no mistake, you are indeed here in these times by divine appointment. You are here in these sometimes very difficult times, in these times that break our hearts wide open. And I know we don't have to look very far to find our hearts broken open by something going on in our world. When I even glimpse at the travesty of Gaza, my heart is broken. And I know yours is too. And that's just one example of many going on in our world, in different places in the world, in different places in our lives, inside of us, in our own history, in this lifetime, or maybe ones before, the ancestors that we carry. There is heart break. There are places when we broke open in such a way that we didn't think we could ever get up again. And then arise we did. What caused us to rise up? The fire of love, the divine spirit that never leaves you, that loves you so much beyond measure, the love that can never stop, the love that once you tap into it, it's just spreading wildfire. And when it's a spreading wildfire, we can do nothing but share it and give it and send it and allow it and put it into those little teddy bears that are going to light up a child's life that is in foster care. And that breaks my heart, that there are children in foster care and the things that may have happened to those children. Does that not break your heart when you look at these things? But breaking a heart is breaking it open. Breaking a heart is opening ourselves to the divine spirit, and then there is more love to give and more love to give, and pretty soon we're standing there like Mary and Jesus going, look, it's wide open. You can see it. I've got nothing to protect anymore because I am fire with God. I am in fire with love. And I know that this is a reason I have come here to earth, to be the love, to embody the love, to share the love, to give the love, to receive the love. Love, love, love. It's all there is. Rumi says the time has come. We love Rumi, don't we? Do you love Rumi? I love Rumi. There's so many great poets, but he gets a lot of fame for the many beautiful things he said. And he says this, the time has come to turn your heart into a temple of fire. You know, we used to say that we have a divine spark within us. And I'd always be like, really? Meh. A divine spark within us? I mean, some days that's all we can manage, right? But I want like a bonfire, you know what I'm saying? And Rumi's calling it in here, so let's bring Rumi back. The time has come to turn your heart into a temple of fire. Your essence is gold hidden in dust. To reveal its splendor, you need to burn in the fire of love. It takes courage, doesn't it? That word comes from the heart. It comes from the idea, core, the French word for heart. It takes courage. It takes bravery to walk this path, to live this human divine life. And you already crossed that bridge when you came. I mean, you may not remember, but you crossed that courageous, brave bridge when you came into this world in physical birth. And now here you are in the cusp of Advent and the movement through Advent, through the fire of love and into the waters of peace and onto the air of joy. And then at Christmas Day to say, oh, yes, I am reborn again. Moving like Zechariah through the smoke of incense as a new person, a new whatever, however it is you show up in life, as a new person who brings forth healing, as a new person who brings forth compassion, forgiveness, whatever it is you are called to do, that flame of love that burns in you at any given time, it will change the face of love, however it is that you are offering it. But offer it, be it, allow it. Feel it, bathe yourself in it, fill yourself up in it, and then it just pressed down, shaken together, spilling over from your lap. You cannot help but shout from the mountaintops that love is the way, that love is who you are and why you have come. It is the testifying to love that your life is all about. And it is the receiving of love that is so sweet and so tender sometimes and so on fire at others. Yes? Yeah. There is a Mayan greeting that says, in Lakash, and it translates to, I am another you, or you are another me. So when you're not feeling so loving, when you're feeling a little grinchy, right? Right, Allie? She's got her Grinch management class. When you're in those moments, when you're just not quite on your game, that's okay, right? There's love to be given to yourself, to your heart. It's okay. All right, I'm not quite there. And then as we infill with that love, we get there. we wake up again. We go, oh yeah, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to show up that way. I don't want my relationships to be filled with that kind of stuff. I don't want to walk through the world giving out that kind of energy. No, I want to be love. And so we gently, ever so kindly, move that child like a child within us, nurturing them, holding them like they've got a little boo-boo, bringing them back, loving them ourselves with divine mother love so that we can go back out and play, right? And the play is the sharing, is the joy of our love, spreading it like wildfire. Let's do it. Valerie Kaur is also a Sikh spiritual teacher, S-I-K-H, an activist, and she started a movement called Revolutionary Love. She's the founder of this movement, embodying love in the world so that we can have this profound challenge of change in the world. And she describes that profound challenge as giving birth. She says it like this: love is more than a rush of feeling. Love is sweet labor, fierce and bloody and imperfect and life-giving, and it is a choice we make again and again. Revolutionary love, like that woman standing in the grocery store, is the choice to labor for others, for our opponents, and for ourselves, and to transform the world around us and within us. And this, I love, it's kind of their tagline now, revolutionary love is the call of our times. It's calling us. It's calling all of us. Sometimes it will seem more sweet and tender. Sometimes it's going to seem like a wildfire. And we've got fires yet to walk through. We all know this. We sense this. You sense this, don't you? And it's not just fear. I mean, there is fear, but it's not just fear. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. We got stuff yet to go through. We're not there yet. And I don't know where there is exactly. But here, I know, is love. And that's a journey you can take any moment, any day, to be loved, to allow yourself to be infilled with love, and to give it away. So let's embody this together. Let's be it. Let's allow the love to move through us, to spread it far and wide and deep within us. I invite you to say this affirmation with me. My sacred heart is aflame with divine love, and I am compelled to spread it far, wide, and deep. And so it is.